It's time for the Anted Podcast. Google fanboys who happen to be blind. ANTADpodcast@gmail.com with your questions and feedback. News, reviews, and your questions on the Anted Podcast.
And back again, the Google fanboys are back on this October the 18th. Are we on the 18th, guys?
I think it's the 19th, right?
Is it the 19th? I never get my days right. Is the 18th, Revy?
It's 19th for us. 19th.
I think it's the 19th.
It's the 19th. Anyway, welcome, guys, to another NTAD podcast. This is Warren from the state of Washington.
Hello, guys. I'm Nimmer, joining you from sunny California, and we have a jam-packed podcast for you today. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, this is Christer Ekström from the cold Sweden. So welcome and listen in to this podcast.
Uh-oh, we have two people maybe fell asleep.
Hey, I'm here. Hi, I'm Ravi from India. So maybe another one is remaining.
Harris?
Maybe not there.
I think we lost Harith. Harith was here. We lost him somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea. Maybe somewhere on the Isle of Patmos or some crazy place like that. We got this great stuff going on. And in our news today, Nimmer.
Got a couple of articles for you today. One article is about the Pixel 4 and one of the features. It was reported by Android Police and a number of other outlets. The Pixel 4 is going to have dual band GPS. Now, what this means is that your phone is going to get a lot more accurate and, to the point that you're not going to really have to worry about finding a building or something like that anymore. It's going to be very, very accurate. And dual band GPS has been around, for a little bit of time, but phones, not a lot of phones have had this. There have been a few. There's been a couple of Huawei phones. But really not very many phones have used dual band GPS. But this article states that Google has the right hardware in their Pixel 4. And they're working on software to enable it. But as soon as it is, as soon as they have that, then Pixel 4 owners will have dual band GPS, which is a really good thing. And then the second one was an article about Samsung. So if you have a silicone screen protector, if you have the right screen protector on your phone, anybody that walks up to your phone can put their finger right down on the screen and they can unlock your phone. So Samsung recognizes that this is an issue, of course, and they're going to be rolling out an update potentially next week. So hopefully that will be done probably, as I say, maybe next week. And in the meantime, they recommend that if you have a Samsung phone and you're using a silicone screen protector, remove that screen protector, remove your fingerprint data, and re-add the fingerprint data on there, and do not use the silicone screen protector. If you're using the protector that is built into your phone that comes with a Galaxy phone, then you don't have anything to worry about. It's just if you got the right one, then unfortunately anybody can unlock your phone. So there you go.
Well, thanks for that, Nimmer. And because we're going to be doing GPS apps comparison like we talked about, and because of the length of some of these things, we're not going to compare both today. But in light of that, we are probably not going to talk about other apps today, but I would like Christer to talk about his experience with the Speak app, and so we're going to make an exception for that. And so, Christer, do you want to talk about the Speak before we jump into talking about GPS apps and then plug those in there?
I can do that. So, I was speaking about my issues with cameras, not reading displays fully, and the problems I had with that. And Warren kindly informed me that Speak had come with an update, which was very interesting in that it had a guidance feature that seemed to do some mighty interesting stuff. Now, I hadn't checked that out, but I did that. I did my homework between that podcast and now. And I must say that with this new iteration of Speak app, I'm mighty, mighty impressed. I've actually got information out of displays that I haven't gotten information out of at all due to this guidance system and its ability to focus on the things I wanted to read. So it sort of noticed, knew where I would like to focus the camera, or so it felt. And once it was focused correctly, I could actually... Now, for today, for example, I made a meal in my microwave, and I actually got to see the timer as it was counting down, so I could properly stir things when it was supposed to be stirred, and sort of check out when to, if I had to increase time and stuff. And I'm mighty impressed with that. Think AL has done a really good job with this app. I hope he's continuing in this way, because this thing is a very good contender to other apps, or competitor, or what it's called, to other apps around, like Envision, Lookout, and so on. So it's interesting. And I want to know the experience you guys have had with that guidance feature.
Thank you. Christer, Earl's a great guy, and he and I have been talking offline. There was something I posted on ANTAT mailing list, and that has to do with the fact that we hear back, and so I told Earl, I actually posted it on there, and then I wrote him privately that probably that needs to be changed, because I understand that if you're pointing it at a TV or at a computer screen, the back makes sense. It means you need to pull back. But what if I am holding it over a piece of paper, lying flat on a desk? I don't understand what the back means. Does it mean I need to slide it forward, or I need to slide it backward towards me? And so we came up with a good idea, and that's the too close. So I think that really makes sense. So I'm looking forward to seeing the update. So that's something to look forward to. That guy is phenomenal. So anyway, like we said, unless someone has something to make some other comment about Speak, given the length of the podcast or the length of the recording demonstration of the nearby Explorer that I'm going to be plugging in here, we just want to jump to that, unless someone has some comment to make.
I just want to add one more thing about Speak. It's very easy for people to get very excited about this development of the reading. And it's very exciting indeed. I mean, I didn't know that I could get so much info out of the display. But you should be aware that that's not all of those displays or situations where you get as much info out of as I did. I'm not sure if this is the standard thing or if I was just lucky. Sometimes you just get two characters out of everything that's on the display. So I don't want people throwing dirt at me because I sort of raised their expectations too high with this. This technology is only in its infancy. I want to just throw in a word of caution about this so that people don't throw dirt on me for raising expectations too high.
That makes sense, and that's true with every OCR package or anything in this class.
So let's discuss GPS apps a little bit, and not too long, because we'll plug in that podcast, and we can talk about some apps that we use maybe, and maybe why we use those apps, and then towards the end of the podcast, of course, we'll have an email. That we actually received an email with some questions. So
last we talked about that, right? Nima, it was you and I that, actually, I think a couple of weeks ago, Christer, you and I, and Nima, we talked about, GPS apps. And so this was the week that we were going to demonstrate that. But I realized that these things were a little bit lengthy, and I did the Google Maps with the new accessibility plugin, and I took that to my local post office here yesterday, and I got there, however, it did not tell me that I have arrived, and I think it's because the address is on the other side of the building for some reason, and I went through a smaller door that I'm familiar with, so I didn't go down to the main door. So anyways, I would probably maybe do it again since Nimmer's demonstration of the nearby Explorer is a little bit lengthy. So I was thinking maybe this week, if I could fit both in, then I would. But if not, then I will demonstrate that, add that to our next week's, hopefully, which is going to be about the Pixel 4 unboxing and some of the features of those phones, and then I'll plug that in there at the end of it. But if that's not the case, then at some other point we'll revisit that. But I think this is short enough to where I probably could plug in both the Google Maps navigation by foot and that from the nearby Explorer. So.
Yeah, I think you can plug both of them in. And so those are the two apps that I mostly use, and I have a lot of them. I have Lazarillo, I have Get There, I have a bunch of GPS apps that I never even turn on. I have Waze, although that's mostly for car navigation. I have a MapQuest app that can do like walking directions, things like that. But mostly I use, I also have Get There, I think I mentioned that one. Mostly I use a Nearby Explorer and Google Maps. And for me, both are good for very different reasons. When I want to get to a location and I want directions to get there, I trust Google Maps because Google Maps is always updating. Google Maps knows where I am at. Google Maps is Google knows a lot of information, of course, and I trust Google Maps with turn-by-turn directions. If I want to know where I'm going and what's around me as I'm going there, if I want to hear approaching intersections or any number of information, if I'm on a bus, that type of thing, and I want more information than what Google Maps can give me, then I use Nearby Explorer and sometimes Get There as well. Now, nothing stops you from using multiple apps at once. So if you hear this podcast and you say, oh, I like Get There, but I like Google Maps giving me directions, there's no reason why you can't use both of them at the same time. I've done that as well. I think in Android, we have a number of GPS options, and some of them are good, some of them are not as useful, and but we have a number of GPS options. Now, I can't promise that these apps, all these apps that we talk about every time, that are going to work in your country, but we're some of us here in the U.S., and of course we have Krista here, and we have a number of other Ravi here, and that they can always say if something works or doesn't work in a different country. But they're certainly worth giving a try if they do work. And no app's going to work for everybody, of course. But those are the apps that I use. I don't know, what apps do you guys use for GPS navigation?
Please pardon my total and utter ignorance here, but is there an accessibility plugin for Google Maps now? Has that rolled out worldwide, or is it just a US-centric thing, or what gives there?
It is currently for only the US and Japan. And so if you live elsewhere, and it's not something that comes with Maps update, rather it's something that goes on the server side of things. So it's rolled out on server base. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to extract the APK for Maps and give it to you and you're going to get that capability. This is rolled out on the server side of things. So at the moment, this is only for the US and Japan. And that announcement came last Thursday, not this past Thursday, during the World Sight Day, and I kept checking to see when it was going to hit my device, and finally I think it hit my device on Saturday morning. So a week ago today it hit my device, and so that's why I decided to give it a spin yesterday and took it for a little spin. And so, like I said, I'm going to plug in Nimmer's nearby demonstration, and also, I'll plug in my demonstration of the maps if we have room. And now I am putting Nimmer's in right now.
So anyways, I'm going to record this about the app called Nearby Explorer. Now, there are two versions of Nearby Explorer. There's a regular version and an online version. The regular version, default cost without any sales or anything, is $99. The free version is free. Now, the online version is free. The regular version is going to be discontinued in favor of the online version. However, the online version is still does not have all of the features of the regular version, and that was a train going by. So the online version yet does not have all the features of the regular version. Until it does, you can continue using the regular version. And I recommend Nearby Explorer in whatever form that you get it. Now, certain features are only available in the regular version, but and that's the version I'm going to demonstrate right now, because it has features that other apps do not. And it has a lot of customizability. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and open Nearby Explorer.
Open Nearby Explorer. Actions.
California, Alameda County, Fremont, 94538, unknown.
Let me slow down the speech more.
Alert mobile, brighten screen, languages, text to speech set. Nearby Explorer, reset button, text to speech output, 46% speech rate, seek control available, 31% speech rate, seek control, 25%. Nearby city, free country in.
So
settings,
when you open
button.
The app, along the top there are some buttons.
Under pause, button. More options.
Pause.
Geobeam off.
Geobeam.
Compass off.
Compass.
Radius down. Radius up.
Radius.
Level, button, disable. Update map. But settings. Button.
Update settings.
Country, United States.
Those are at the top, and more options as well. And then we have other checkboxes, and these are checkboxes that you can check or uncheck. And if checked, the option will announce whatever it is. If unchecked, it will not.
State California checked.
So country, state.
Alameda County.
County.
Checked.
City, Fremont, checked.
City?
Check. Zip code, 94,538, checked. Checkbox.
Zip code?
Heading, checked.
Heading?
Street number,
street
zero.
Number?
Street name, unknown.
Street name?
Approaching, checked.
Approaching?
Guidance, checked.
Guidance?
Nearby, checked. Checkbox.
Nearby?
Nearby position.
Nearby
checked.
Position.
Checkbox. Description.
Description.
Checked. Blind description.
Blind description.
Watch. Not checked.
Watch.
Speed. 0.0.
Speed.
Latitude. And 37.
Latitude.
Longitude. W100.
Longitude.
Altitude.
Altitude.
Accuracy. 4 yards. Not checked.
Accuracy.
Show slash hide items. 20 out of 20.
And I can show or hide whichever any of these that I want to show or hide. Now, not only do these options exist, but
downloading,
I can also long tap on any of these options to bring up additional options. So, for example,
nearby, checked, checkbox.
For the nearby option, I can long press
pop up window, save place as favorite.
I can save that place as a favorite.
Show nearby places.
Show
checked,
nearby
checkbox.
Places.
Show transit stop information. Checked. Checkbox.
Show transit stop information.
Show favorites. Checked.
Show favorites.
Checkbox. Maximum places per location.
Maximum number of places.
Save location as favorite. Set locate virtual navigation. Not checked.
Set location,
set location
as watch.
As watch. Virtual navigation.
Virtual navigation.
Not
so
checkbox.
I can navigate to that place without actually being there.
Uncheck all.
And there we go.
Nearby,
check all.
Nearby, checked. Checkbox.
Now, each one of these options, the menu will look a little bit different. Now, along the bottom, I've got a number of options. On the bottom left,
show slash search button.
I have search.
Explore button.
Explore, so I can actually explore an environment without being there.
Favorites button.
Favorites.
Transit button.
Transit. And those are the features on the bottom. I'm not going to demo every feature in this app because there's a lot of features. I'm going to talk about certain ones. The watch feature allows you to look up a place and set it as a watch. So no matter where you are, if you have that watch feature turned on, it will automatically announce your distance and position to that place. Or it won't do that. You know, you can just look at that information on the screen and it'll just show it on the screen without you checking that box. The compass is just a compass. The GeoBeam is probably my favorite and we'll use that today. So when you have
heading northwest, 313 degrees.
When you have it set to go to a destination, the GeoBeam can get you pretty much to the door. It lets out beeps and things to let you know that you're getting closer to the destination. And it's very accurate. Like I said, it'll get you pretty much to the door. And we'll see how that works. So what I'm going to do is...
heading southeast, 133 degrees.
Search button.
I'm going to search, and I'm going to find... I should go into the more options here.
Street name settings, more options.
In more options...
search, explore.
I have some of the same options that are at the bottom. Search, explore.
Favorites.
Favorites.
Transit.
Transit.
Get transit stops by move it.
Get transit stops
City
by move
Fremont,
it.
California.
And move it is
map
an
view.
App.
Set map view.
Map view, and that map view is accessible, so you can use it with a screen reader.
Settings.
Settings.
What's new?
What's new?
Help.
Help.
Send feedback.
Send
rate
feedback.
About.
Rate this app and about.
Take indoor explorer survey.
Take indoor explorer survey. So let's go to the settings.
Selected. Send feedback. Help. What's new? Settings. Settings. Search. Include. Settings. Address provider. Navtech.
Address provider. I have that set to Navtech, but there are other options. Navtech is the onboard maps, but you can use Google Maps or Foursquare Maps. OpenStreetMaps. On iOS, they'll look a little bit different. You'll have access to Apple Maps. So let's go
alert
in here and just look at all the
Google
options.
OpenStreetMap.
OpenStreetMap. And you can get those on board or use the online
settings
version.
Search provider.
Search
Google
provider, the same thing. So that's when you search.
Include street address in nearby place. Checked. Checkbox. Choose synthesizer. Allow indoor support. Checked. Shape to repeat. Not checked. Set shape sensitivity, 80%. Use metric measurements, not checked. Use feet instead of yards, not checked. Round distances for easy listening, not checked. Allow vibrator for haptic feedback, checked. Use old style orientation sensor, not check. Send usage data to app, checked. Root settings. Open StreetMap Manager. Root settings.
So you can go to root settings.
Root settings. Route optimization. Pedestrian mode. Not checked.
Check pedestrian mode for this purpose.
Route optimization. Fastest time.
Route optimization.
Use highways. Checked. Use unpaved roads. Checked. Checkbox. Use toll roads. Checked. Use ferries. Checked. Checkbox. Consider current heading when calculating routes. Check.
There we go. This app has a lot of options, but a lot of configurability. For example, when I'm in a car, I may turn a lot of these off, but I want to know about approaching intersections because, you know, especially I'm on a bus, I want to know what's ahead of me. I want to know what stop to get off on. I can set a favorite of my current location. I can use the watch feature if I need to return to a place that I'm at, such as, you know, if I'm on a trail or something like that.
Settings.
So
settings.
This app is really configurable. It does have a lot of options, but it does give you a lot as well. So I'm going to search for Walgreens.
Nearby search button. Alert waiting for result. Online search results. Google Places. Search. Edit pop. Showing in. W A L G R. Search. Alert waiting. Wall search nearby, online search results 30 miles. Search city, state, wall, radius down.
I have my radius turned up.
Radius up, but radius down, button disabled. Open street, nav, open street, Google Play, Sir Walgreens Lab, Walgreens, drugstore, 0.3 miles southwest.
There we go.
Save to favorites. List directions.
So when I tap on that, I have options, save to favorites. I can get a list of the directions.
Turn-by-turn guidance.
Turn-by-turn guidance.
Get transit directions by MoveIt.
Get transit directions.
Open in browser.
Open in browser.
Virtual go-to.
Virtual go-to, so I can actually go there without going there.
Set as watch. Call.
Set as watch. Call, and those are my options. So set as watch, again, as I said, that watch feature will automatically update as I get closer to it. But what I want to do here is we'll just
turn
use
by turn,
turn by turn guidance.
Nearby explore.
Mode.
Search.
Proceed southeast
button.
On unknown. In 0.3 miles, turn right on Walnut Avenue.
All right.
Rerouting. Heading northwest 309 degrees. In 160 yards, bear left on Maury Avenue.
So here we go. It's going to get noisy because I'm going to walk along a busy road. Hopefully, this recording
heading
comes
through. Heading east 101 degrees.
Hopefully the audio will come out okay. It's a little bit breezy, and there's a lot of traffic noise.
Heading northwest 334 degrees. Maury Avenue, heading west 269 degrees.
There we go, I turned left.
Heading southwest 231 degrees.
And it told me what street I was on. Let me turn the headings off. That might be a little distracting.
Nearby, checked. Guide.
Parkside Drive, right side 140
heading
yards.
Southwest, heading. Not checked.
There we go. I've turned the headings off. And we are on our way.
Street. Approaching. Parkside Drive, right side, 125 yards. Checked. Checkbox.
And it will tell you, approaching, whatever it is. And actually, I just flicked to that option. But it will tell me as I approach it and get closer to it. I also
guidance
have the option.
105 yards bare left on Maury Avenue. Checked. Checkbox.
The guidance, and it's telling me what I need to do, what my next step is. So all these are on the screen already, but as I keep walking, it will.
Parkside Drive, right side, 99 yards.
Keep
near
updating
Sheila
me.
Chatwani, OD, Tri-City Optometry at 1864, 22 yards at 9 o'clock. In 94 yards bare left on Maury Avenue.
So it will keep updating me as I keep on walking.
In 0.3 miles, turn left on unknown. Sheila S. Chatwani, OD, 42 yards at 7 o'clock. Parkside Drive, right side, 69 yards. Near Drive, Rakesh Safaya, MD, Dr. Bachala Reina, MD at 0.18 yards at 1 o'clock. Dr. Rakesh Safaya, MD 8 yards at 3 o'clock. Parkside Drive, right side, 48 yards. Near Gakko to Polinar MD, Renamajit SMD, Christine S. Kauri, DPM, Atinza Rolando RMD, Lert RMA at 1888. Gakko to Polinar MD, 9 yards at 7 o'clock.
So there's
approaching
a lot of
Parkside Drive, 27 yards.
There's a lot of doctors in the area. There's a hospital, so that's why it's announcing all the doctors.
Gakko to Polinar MD, 31 yards behind. Civic Center Drive, left side, 217 yards.
Continuing to walk along here. I will have one street to cross. And then I will approach it on my left. But the app will guide me. And I could have listed the directions, and this way I would know what side of the street it was on.
Unknown. In 343 yards, turn left on unknown.
So I was near a bunch of buildings, and that's why I kept saying unknown. Of course, you lose your GPS reception when you're around a lot of unknown places. So usually, you know, when that happens, you just want to keep walking, and you will regain your reception. Very breezy out here. All right. We're approaching the intersection now.
Maury Avenue, Civic Center Drive, left side, 96 yards. Near Drive, Michael Lamb, MD, McNay Daniel MMD at 2,144, 25 yards at 11 o'clock.
So I can
Civic Center Drive, left side, 64 yards.
I can set the speech to whatever I want. Right now it's using Google TTS.
Doctor, Michael Lamb, MD, 9 yards at 9 o'clock. Civic Center Drive, left side, 44 yards.
And this way the speech is separate from my screen reader speech, but I can set it to whatever I want. So now I'm going to cross the street.
Civic Center Drive, Maury Avenue ahead, 30 yards. Bardway, left side, 339 yards. Rerouting. In 155 yards, turn right on unknown. Maury Avenue ahead, 27 yards. Doctor, Michael Lamb, MD, 29 yards behind.
And I didn't actually make a turn, but it thinks that I have.
Wind DTSMS dentist at 22,230 yards at 2 o'clock. Maury Avenue. Unknown. Kwong N. Wind DDSMS 34 yards behind.
And let me turn on the geobeam feature right about now.
7. State, California settings. Button. Update. Level. Radio. Compass off. Geobeam off. Geobeam on.
Rerouting. In 175 yards, turn right on unknown.
So now,
geobeam on button.
We shall get some direction here.
Maori Avenue, Stivers Street, right side, 32 yards. Unknown. Rerouting. Walgreens, 131 yards. Walgreens, 127 yards.
So now, as I point my phone, if I want to know what direction the Walgreens is in, I can hold my phone flat. And this is the GeoBeam feature. So I'm holding my phone flat. And I will just turn my phone in a circle, slowly. And as soon as I face the correct direction, it will be
Walgreens, 124 yards.
And it will vibrate. So right now I'm holding it in the correct direction.
Unknown. Walgreens, 120 yards.
And the pitch of the beeps will get higher and higher as I get closer to
Walgreens, 120 yards. Maori Ave, Walgreens, 100. Unknown.
And so I can just turn the phone, you know, so it's not beeping. But then as I get closer, I can turn it again. And the beeps will rise in pitch until I get a high beep and I know that I've arrived. And the beeps will keep going even after the nearby explorer tells me I've arrived. So,
Walgreens, 84 yards. Helpful.
So I must be getting close.
Walgreens, 78 yards. In 91 yards, turn left on unknown. Walgreens, 64 yards. Walgreens, 63. Walgreens, 62 yards.
Left. So I'm turning left because the nearby
destination on unknown will be in 69 yards.
The GeoBeam indicated that it was to my left. And that's how I know that it's on my left.
Walgreens, 53 yards.
And the GeoBeam still indicates that I'm nearing it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just pass it, just to see what happens.
Rerouting. In 77 yards, turn right on unknown. In 89 yards, turn right on unknown.
Right, so now if I turn the other way, and keep turning my phone.
Walgreens, 75 yards.
It will tell me, the GeoBeam will tell me.
Walgreens, 74 yards.
It will indicate, so now I'm going to walk in that direction.
Walgreens, 73 yards. Walgreens, 72 yards. Walgreens, 70 yards. Walgreens, 67
and
yards.
I'm just holding it, and it's going to indicate to me that I'm getting closer and closer to it.
Walgreens, 65 yards. Rerouting. Walgreens, 64 yards. In 94 yards, turn right on Walgreens, 60 yards. Rerouting. In 43 yards, turn right on unknown. Walgreens, 56 yards. Walgreens, 53 yards. Walgreens, 52 yards. Walgreens, 51 yards. Walgreens, 50 yards. Walgreens, 48 yards. Walgreens, 47 yards. Walgreens, 47 yards. Walgreens, 46 yards. Walgreens, 45 yards. In 25 yards, turn left on Maori. Walgreens, 48 yards. Walgreens, 50 yards. Walgreens, 50 yards. Walgreens, 46. Walgreens, 44 yards. Walgreens, 43. Walgreens, 42 yards.
So I'm approaching it.
Walgreens, 37 yards. Walgreens, 36 yards. Maori Avenue, Paseo Padre Parkway ahead, 143 yards. In 43 yards, turn left on unknown. Walgreens, 24 yards.
And now it's definitely pointing at my left.
Walgreens, 22 yards.
Nearby Explorer says I'm here.
Near Walgreens Pharmacy, Pharmacy on Maori Avenue, 6 yards at 10 o'clock. Walgreens, 30 yards.
And so what I'm doing now is
Walgreens, 25 yards. Walgreens, 24 yards.
GeoBeam to get right to the door.
Walgreens, 20 yards. Walgreens, 19 yards. Walgreens, 17 yards.
As you notice, the beeping went higher and higher. And So this has been a audio recording of
1746
Nearby Explorer for the ANTAD podcast.
Okay, so that was Nimmer's demonstration. So guys, if you want to continue to talk about other GPS apps or you know, what works for you in your country, then we could talk about that before we go check on our, you know, our email messages or whatever responses that we got from some of our listeners.
I want to raise the issue of GPS apps here, because both on the Apple side and on the Android side, we have this big problem that many GPS apps, even those for blind and visually impaired, don't work on other places than in English-speaking countries like UK and the US and so on and so forth. And it doesn't work up here in Sweden, which makes me furious, because I think we too in Scandinavia have the right to good GPS options. Luckily, Get There works here in Sweden. I was actually the one who translated the app a bit to Swedish. And I did it because I thought it was the best GPS app I've ever tested, hands down. You don't have to do a lot of fiddling around with the settings and planning routes and stuff and so on. You just tell, you can even tell the app by voice where you want to go, and you get this this navigational instructions, and they're good, and they keep chattering, so you know the app is alive, which I think is a blessing, because I'm walking very slowly. So some apps, particularly on the Apple side of things, had a tendency to sort of take a nap and not wake up again or something. So all of a sudden I could be standing there without a GPS or anything. So that's one thing I appreciate, but I don't like the solutions where some apps work in certain countries, like the Nearby Explorer. Are we talking the online version or the full version? Because if we're talking the full version, then we Swedes are excluded, and I think that goes for India too.
In this case, the one that Nimmer is demonstrating is the full, is not the online version of the Nearby Explorer. And of course, you know, I think that one is getting discontinued anyway, so everything is going to be rolled into the online, and so basically it's going to be the same across the board.
Well, anyway, are we ready to talk about email? We got anything else to talk about?
Let's move on to the email, and because
all know, right,
and then we'll bring this baby to a close.
Great.
So before like changing the topic, I'd like to speak a few words about GPS, because hope it's okay, as the podcast is about GPS. So basically, I use Google Maps for regular navigation while traveling through car and to get new directions for other places and all. But one, the app which my favorite is Lazarillo, because, okay, one thing I want to say before I say anything about it. On Android, yes, we do have options, a lot of them. One GPS app may be working for me, some other may be working for others, so it's fine. There are a lot of varieties. So the reason which I like the Lazarillo was, so when I came across this app through some mailing list, so basically at first I thought how to use it and all. So later my continued usage of it for up to 5 years really helped me a lot. So when I'm traveling in buses, the regular announcement by the app of the approaching stops and landmarks helped me a lot up to 5 years. So for regular navigation and other things for long drive and places, Google Maps is my first priority. And while traveling in any new environment, or if I want to get any detailed or continued responses or announcements from the app, I mostly like prefer Lazarillo as it works for me. But I don't know much about Nearby Explorer because maybe they are still trying to develop it in our country. I don't know much about it, but yeah, you could have an option on your phone also if you want to use some app which can give you regular announcements about landmarks and bus stops. Lazarillo might help sometimes.
Thank you. Ravi, maybe next time you could demonstrate that Lazarillo, you know, for one of our podcasts.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to emails. Nimmer, ready to fire that baby up?
Yes, I got an email here from David Miller. And if I'm not saying your name correctly, I apologize, but I believe that's how you say your name. It says, hello, I just listened to AdTab Podcast 4. I appreciate that, by the way, for listening to that. I've got some comments and a question. The question first, not Warren, but, and I didn't catch the name. My name is Nimmer, by the way. Says he uses the app to read a computer display, specifically if a computer stops talking or if it's running updates. I didn't catch the name of this app. Which one is it? So I don't know which one I was referring to back then, but I certainly have used Lookout quite a bit for that. I've also used Speak, and I've used The Voice. I've used all three of them. But pretty much most of the OCR apps,
Super Sense.
Yes, Super Sense as well. Pretty much all the apps, you know, and if one doesn't work, try another one. They all do slightly differently depending on lighting and such. But, you know, I've had pretty good success with Lookout. I've had, so, you know, just try them out. That's all I would say. And, but most of the time they will work. Super Sense and Speak, I think, probably are, you know, really good apps for that. So, but, you know, try them out.
And, you know, adding to that, though, I think that this one that I have not been singing about, and that's I think it's Brincando Braille. Yes, I think it's like either Portuguese or Spanish thing. You know, I wrote to the guy and I wanted him to continue. He just did that like a project. And so he says he's just going to leave it open source. And so, you know, others could, you know, improve on it. I really like that app, but it looks like that guy is not doing anything on it. It's kind of like an abandonware. Maybe he says I'm going to pull that thing out. And frankly, I like the way it works because it's, you know, it behaves like, you know, seeing AI or, you know, other apps that, you know, if you just move away from the focus to another thing, you know, then it starts to instantaneously read that new thing. So that's what I like about that particular app. Sorry,
Christopher, go ahead. I have to comment about Super Sense. I was trying to do just what Nimmer did with Super Sense, and I didn't have any luck at all with it. Just totally silent for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. For me, it works, but, you know, like I said, if it doesn't work, try a different one.
We have a lot of options.
Yeah, we do have a lot of options. Now, continuing with the email, this is a little bit lengthy email, but we'll keep going through it. It says, comment, some of the audio demos were quite distinct, while others, possibly due to the distance of the audio from the mic, were not so easy to hear. Is this a fixable item? Yeah, we'll work on that. You know, we'll see what we can do. We might have a plan for improving the audio in future podcasts, but we'll share more about that another time if we manage to do that. But, you know, we'll keep working on that. Keep sending your suggestions. Also, please note, we're not professionals, you know, so, and we're not doing a lot of editing on these podcasts. So these podcasts, in a way, are kind of what they are. And
just what you hear.
Just what you hear. So, yep. All right. And then we'll continue. Not sure if this is a question for the podcast, but maybe you guys can bandy it back and forth and give me some input as I've asked on the list and not gotten anything back. I'm on the market for a tablet 7 to 8 inches in size, 100 to 200 bucks. For price, running Pi. Goal is business and productivity. I'm not looking for a kids-type tablet. If I can't or don't want to bring the laptop, I'm going to want the tablet for doing work. Thanks, Dave. Okay, my thoughts on this are that if you're trying to use Android tablets to do a lot of things productively, that you're going to struggle in a way. And that's okay. First of all, $100 to $200 isn't very much money, I don't think, to get really good hardware. And then second of all, a lot of the apps out there and productivity apps, depending on what you mean by productivity, but I would say the laptop is going to be a lot more productive, and it depends again on what you want to do. But I have found that for me, at least, trying to be really productive, trying to do a lot of editing, trying to do a lot of especially anything that has web views, is a very painful experience on Android and on a tablet, especially because a lot of the tablets have lower quality screens. They don't respond to touches as well. They have lower quality hardware. And so, you know, from my perspective, I would say stick to your laptop. And if not, then increase your budget. But even if you do, I'm not sure, you know, other than maybe some of the Samsung tablets, I don't really know of a lot of very good Android tablets that I would say, you know, this is what I recommend for productivity. You know, if you want to just watch the occasional video or have a good time with it, something like that, it's fine. But that's just my thought. I don't know. You know, have you guys played around with any tablets that maybe you recommend?
You know, tablets, I've always been the guy who is not into tablets. And now, frankly, like you said, though, there's hardly... I think the people keeping tablets alive is Samsung. And now and then, you know, a lot of Chinese guys also have, you know, some tablets, you know, the Chewy. I hope I'm pronouncing that thing right. But there's a bunch of them.
There's a lot of really cheap ones at Walmart. But I think, yeah Samsung Walmart, and Apple probably are the two tablet makers.
You know, there's a lot of... tablets from Walmart, and there was one that I, you know, it's a Walmart on in-house tablet. Of course, they had someone build it for them, but that was the on or an N. I actually went and got one of those. They were in two sizes, the 7-inch and the 10-inch. Eight and 10 inches. So I got the smaller one, and that was for $64, and the other one was for $80, and I got that one and played for it, you know, did a little bit of unboxing it and checking it out, and then I took it back to Walmart because, of course, I'm not a tablet kind of person, so I just wanted to see what it is, if it's something I could recommend. At that point, my conclusion on it was that while it is good, was running Android Pie, and... you know, the responses are better than, you know, what I observe on, like, the Amazon, you know, Fire tablets. And besides, it was running pure Android with maybe one or two, three or four Walmart-related things like Voodoo. And they also have some sort of a recorder in there. But at least it has direct access to the Play Store. And I think that's the plus that it has. And my suggestion at the time, or recommendation at the time, was that if Walmart brings this thing down during the sales and it's like $40 or something like that, absolutely grab the tablet. So besides that, when it comes to, you know, better tablets, you need a Samsung tablet. That's what I would recommend. But if you're not doing heavy duty, there's a lot of tablets at Walmart. Some of them even have keyboards, like some of the RCA ones have keyboards, but some of them are as low as $40. I was looking at that, I think it was last week.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how good that's going to be for, you know, productivity and, you know, things going to crash or stop responding to the input or, you know, I don't know. And they have low storage and, you know, I don't know. It's something that you have to think about. What do you actually want in a tablet? There's a number of options, but probably Samsung and Apple are the two. You know, we can't recommend Apple really because this is a Google podcast, but, you know.
Yeah, you just mentioned that word. My head hurts.
Yeah, well, guess who was, hey, Krister, guess who was doing a demo of an iPhone last week, you know?
Let's not go down that road.
Oh, I have to hear that. Well, I have to hear more of sort of writhe. Because, yes, as you know, I'm an Apple Taliban and always want to and always will be. So,
it was painful. It was very painful. It was a torture.
But anyways, so thank you very much, David, for that email. And anybody else who wishes to contact us, please send your questions, comments, suggestions, andtadpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to go through those and possibly answer them on the next podcast. So please send any comments, andtadpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Adios from this part of the world.
And thank you, everybody. It was really very nice sharing with you all what we knew. And Android is vast. Keep exploring.
Yeah, thanks from Sweden. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. And looking forward to see you next week.